Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Here's the 1-0. And Springer drives it to pretty deep right center field. He chases Kane back, still going back at the wall. He leaps, and it is off his glove and rolls back toward the infield. Springer motoring for third base, and he'll get in with a stand-up triple.
Boy, that's a way to start a series against the Kansas City Royals. A deep shot to right center field.
Ground ball right side. That's just fair and pass. Hosmer headed down the right field line. Springer can walk home. Gonzalez makes the turn at first, but will hold there with a sharply hit single, and the Astros lead it 1-0. 2-0 is drilled deep to right field. It chases back Orlando, and it's over his head and off the wall. Scoring easily is Gonzalez. Correa goes to third. RBI single for Rasmus, and it's 2-0 Astros.
My goodness.
And it's 3-0 Astros. 4-0. 5-0 Astros. George Springer stands in. He got this all started with a leadoff triple and came in on a base hit by Gonzalez. 9 batters faced. 8 of them have reached first pitch. And Springer drives it deep to left field. It backs up Ibner, still going back at the wall, looking up. See you later! A grand slam for George Springer. And the Astros have a 9-0 lead in the first. My goodness.
He's got a triple and a home run in the first inning.
What an onslaught.
Well, you hear the murmur in the crowd right now. They are incensed. I see a guy with a beard. He's leaving.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I'm with yesterday's winning pitcher for the Astros, Dallas Keuchel. And last 5 or 6 starts, we're talking about the low walks, the high strikeouts again for you. Everything's starting to come together pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. And we can throw out last night just because.
Huge lead.
It was 12-0. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, unless I'm just throwing every pitch down the middle, we're gonna win the game. Yep. And my job is to fill up the zone and get as many outs as possible and get my team back in the dugout to hit again. And I felt good early. It was just one of those things where I was just filling up the zone. That was my job. My whole game plan and whole philosophy went out the window whenever we scored 9 runs in the first inning.
There you go, and you got the win. I want to talk to you about the College World Series. You got a chance to play in that, and it's a dream come true for a lot of kids out there, and I'm sure it was for you too.
Yeah, it's something that I'll never forget. And going into Arkansas, that was my main goal, was to get a chance to play in the College World Series. I felt like that school was my best chance, and yeah. It came true with actually our least talented team.
Really.
In my 3 years there, but eventually it turned out now it was a very talented team just because of the freshmen that came in, a couple of the sophomores, and it was fun. It was fun.
And a lot of recognizable names. Can you tell everybody who was on your team at Arkansas? Because it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so we eventually, like I said, had a pretty good class. Brett Ibner, who's up with Kansas City. Andy Wilkins, who's had some time in the big leagues. There's Drew Smiley, my college roommate. He's a fixture with Tampa Bay. Mike Bolsinger, who's been with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks.
McCann.
James McCann, yeah, how could I get James McCann? He's one of the best catchers in the league with Detroit. So Zach Cox, who was also a first-rounder.
So you get a chance to go. And when you guys finally get to go to Omaha, and there's a lot of college teams. I remember being in college thinking that was our goal too, but not many teams get to be there. What's it finally like when you get there, and how are you treated? What's all the fanfare about?
Oh, it's everything and more.
Really?
It really is. And the fans treat you so well. They're all so nice. They just love baseball. And, yeah. And that's what it comes down to, is the joy of baseball around that area. Yeah. Tailgating, there's fans opening shops. I mean, it really is like its own little country when the College World Series is going on. And I got the luxury of playing an old Rosenblatt in one of the last few years it was around, so just the history behind it and the great teams who have played before me and us was just one of the coolest things ever.
Dallas, we're used to seeing a pretty mild mannered guy out on the mound, and you and I were laughing on the bus earlier. You got pretty animated on the mound. You came in relief, first time in relief all year long, and you guys played extra innings. You came in for 4 innings, and you were getting pretty pumped up. I believe it was 4 straight innings there was a runner on third base, and you were able to strand them, and you guys finally beat Virginia.
Yeah, that group, that Virginia group, was very talented. They had Danny Holson, who started the game for them, who was the number 2 pick overall. A lot of great players that I played against in the Cape, but just the emotion of coming in the ninth inning, my first relief appearance, my junior year, since my freshman year. The emotion that was going into that game, it was a do-or-die game, elimination game, and college baseball doesn't get exposure nationally like college football and college basketball. So when you're on the biggest stage of college baseball, I think with 35,000 people out there, the emotion gets to you, and I was in trouble a lot, and I somehow Houdini'd my way out of a lot of jams, and one inning I celebrated with it almost looks like a moonwalk with some fist pumps in there. So it's one of those things where I was just in the moment and just so excited to help my team out.
Thanks for catching up. Keep it rolling.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Back with more Astro Launch right after this.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
On this Sunday afternoon in 1995, the Astros hosted the Cubs in the Astrodome. They were about as gracious as Genghis Khan. Actually, the Cubs led 2-0 when the Astros got on the board with a run in the bottom of the fourth. After that, they would score like barbarians in every inning. They got 3 more in the fifth and knocked out Frank Castillo. They pounded out 2 more in the sixth on RBIs by Derek Bell and Craig Bidgey. Jeff Bagwell hit a home run in the seventh to give the Astros a 10-4 lead. The Cubs countered with 2 of their own. Then in the eighth, the Astros went for the jugular. They scored 9 runs on 6 hits and 3 walks off Brian Hickerson. The final score was 19-6. Ordinarily, the Astros provide the fireworks on Friday night, but the Rockets fired again on this Sunday in 1995.
Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid. Put good in, get good out.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros bench coach Trey Hillman, and the Astros in a place you're familiar with, Kansas City, of course, managed here. And, you know, in your career, you've seen your share of Major League debuts, and a Major League debut for the Astros tonight with A.J. Reed coming up to the big league club and DHing in tonight's lineup. You know, as a manager, as a bench coach, what are some things that you guys try to do just to kind of manage expectations? Because, I mean, it's a big moment in a guy's career when they get to the big leagues.
Yeah, it's a huge moment. I think, first of all, A.J. does a great job. A.J. Hinch, the manager, does a great job of making sure these guys don't have too much pressure other than the inherent pressure of being here in the first place. I think he does a great job of making them feel at home. I think the rest of the staff tries to keep that in mind. So I think that's one thing that here with the Astros, with A.J.'s leadership, that can help a guy in his Major League debut. We try to keep it business as normal. You know, just from a instruction standpoint, I try to make sure that they're comfortable with the signs, and I make sure to remind them to get with Gary, you know, if it's an offensive player, for the offensive signs, and if he has any questions beyond that, not to hesitate. He can come to me, or he can go back to Gary, or he can go to Richie. Tell him that we're going to help him throughout the course of the game and until, you know, he gets his feet wet, so to speak, and gets acclimated. But it's really special, Robert, to see, because I saw him walking out of the clubhouse on his way to the cage when I first saw him today. You see that, the look in their eyes, the excitement, and the body language. Their feet are barely on the ground, so it's pretty cool to get to watch.
It seems like there was a time when a guy would get called up to the big leagues and might sit for a while before they actually got into a game. But it seems like the philosophy's changed over the years, and now it seems like it's more of an idea. If you want to try and get that guy in a game as soon as possible and Reed in a lineup today, do you think it's better that way, so a guy's not just kind of sitting and maybe the anticipation builds up?
Well, I think, once again, I think the timing of it with what Jeff and A.J. discuss of when they bring guys up, I think they make the timing of it fit into what they feel like is going to be a good matchup, you know, and hopefully today is a good matchup for him with getting to see Young. And I think it's very wise of A.J. to put him in that DH role for his first game. And I also think sometimes, depending on the personality and depending on how your schedule falls, sometimes it's a little more advantageous on the road than it is at home. You know, sometimes guys are going to feel like at home, wow, this is the home team ballpark. I've got to make a good impression to start things off and put a little more inherent pressure on themselves. So I think the thought process and the planning that Jeff and AJ have, at least in my time here with the Astros, I think the timing's been outstanding in the debuts that I've gotten to see.
You saw plenty of A.J. Reed in spring training. Of course, was in the competition for the first base job, which Tyler White wound up winning coming out of spring. What were some of the things that you saw with A.J. Reed that really impressed you and made you think, hey, this is a guy who may be able to help us down the road?
Well, for such a big man, he's just big. He's big boned, 6'4". He carries his weight very well, strong. I wasn't expecting to see as mobile defensive player as I saw at spring training. I was expecting to see hands that worked, but I wasn't expecting to see as soft a hands as I did and as quick and reactionary. You know, I think sometimes we put bigger guys into a category of everything's going to be slow moving. His hands really aren't slow moving. When they need to have that fast twitch to them, they have that fast twitch. He understands his body pretty well. We encouraged him at spring training to be a little more fundamentally sound with his fielding position and his angles to lateral balls, give himself an opportunity laterally to get a little bit deeper on his angles. But, you know, A.J. Reed does a really good job of recognizing hops. He does a really good job of working around the bag, and he's not afraid to play off that line. So for our right-handed shifts, that's going to help us a lot, depending on how much time A.J. Hinch gives A.J. Reed at first base.
Trey Hillman, Astros bench coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Robert.
Pitch your questions to the booth. Email your questions to radio@astros.com. Robert Ford and Steve Sparks fielding your baseball questions. Radio@astros.com.